Okay, let's run to the world. The world was loved enough by God to put his son on that cross. So those of who say, oh, the world has nothing, the world needs conversion, needs transformation. I want to take you to Luke. And it's after the resurrection, after the experience that shakes the world. If you look at verse 13, it says, on the road to Emmaus, and I'm not going to go there because... Chapter 24. Now, you can read it for yourself in verse 13 on. But what the Holy Spirit was pushing into my heart was verse 25. They've already now had an explanation. He says, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. He said, why do you bother reading that to me? Because sometimes we read the scriptures and it's for somebody else. It doesn't touch home because it's all about them getting straightened out. And me, if they were only like me, and we'd all have what? Me's in here. And beginning with Moses, he explained. But it was concerning himself. So that gives us a clue as to when we read the word, what is it that you're saying to me? Amen? As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further or farther. Notice the action says something to me. He's looking for an invitation. Amen? But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. What if they had not spoken up? Yeah, he would have kept on going. So he's expecting for you and I to put demands on him. I should have heard at least one amen, but I didn't hear any. Say, he's expecting for me to put demands on him. I want to know you more, Lord. I want to know the purpose of my life. I want to know the scriptures that are talking about me. Not somebody else. Me. Oh my God. Okay. I'm getting a vision of what I didn't expect, but I'm going to share it. I haven't been to the Y for obviously a week and a half, but I went there this morning and I did my exercises and so on. And so I decided to be treating myself to the hot tub. And that happens to be where the pool is. Well, I've been talking to this young Muslim, very handsome young man. He's one of the lifeguards. Now, as I'm walking into the area, those of you who remember when we went to the baptism, it's a pretty good size area. The hot tub is way at the other end of the pool, which is where I walked in. And I noticed, kind of odd, there were two people in the pool swimming, and they both ended up, one left on the one end and the other left on the other end, and now we're alone, and he's sitting on his little chair. Well, I obviously turned on the hot tub, and I got in, okay? And all of a sudden, I see him get off of his chair, and he tramples himself all the way over, goes and gets a drink of water, and comes back, and he says, "How are you?" I says, "I'm well, and how are you?" And we started to talk. And the Holy Spirit showed me a while back that you don't treat a Muslim like you do the others. You talk to them about the Creator. Don't talk about Jesus, talk about the Creator. So I did. We talked about the Creator, and he's got Muslims on one side of his family, and he's got Spanish people on the other side, so he's being torn. And I said to him, my prayer would be, if I were you, because he don't know where to go. He doesn't know. He likes the idea that some of the people that go to the church on the Spanish side have, you know, said they'd love to see him come, but he's kind of pressured by dad to go to the mosque. And I said to him, you know, it would be really sweet if God would make himself real to you like he did to Abraham. Mm-hmm. I said, you know, if Father Abraham had to watch his son, which is what you were sharing, on that cross, mm-hmm. I said, you know, none of us know what the plan is for somebody else's life, including fathers for their sons and mothers for their sons. So I said, I don't know where you belong, and I don't want to even be a part of it. But if I were you, this is the prayer I would say. You're the Creator, Papa. You're the all-knowing. And you put me together in my mother's womb, and I said, I would say, I want to know what you want from me and what I'm all about. And he said, I agree. I said, good. So he left. And I got up because somebody else walked in almost within 2 seconds. We were alone in that huge area for those minutes. So I got out of the tub. He said, I'm going to see you again soon, I hope. I said, well, you know, I'm sure that I must I must be becoming an irritation to you. He says, no, I enjoy coming and talking with you. Why? Because, again, respect. Respect their position. Respect their torment. Respect where they're sitting. Respect how they're having a hard time. And give them a chance to pull in the Lord. Because I know he's pulling on the Lord in me. I know that. But he doesn't know that. And I don't need to tell him. It's not my business to tell him unless he asks. If he asks, why don't you stay for a little while? And I'm expecting that to happen because I've got another one that's got a date with me that we're supposed to go to McDonald's and get some coffee, but he's been down in Florida right now. And he's been bugging me for about a month now. We need to go out. Okay, we're going to do it. So why am I being chosen? Because of Christ in me, the hope of what?
Glory.
Thank you. Hear me. Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. 31 should have a circle around it. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Isn't that cool? And he disappeared from their sight. Not that part I don't like. I would have held on to him. I think I would have grabbed him and I said, yo! Come on. Am I the only one that would have grabbed? Thank you. Good grief. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us? While he talked with us on the road, and open the scriptures to us. So who is the one that's going to open the scripture? It's the Holy Spirit. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. The intensity of communion had actually the ability to really rip off the blindness off their eyes. And I say to the Lord, don't stop. Verse 36 is exciting. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said then to them, peace be with you. I love it. They were startled and frightened. I love the mental picture of this whole situation. Thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Why do doubts rise in your minds? He can read their book, huh? I know the Holy Ghost can read your book through me, and he can use any vessel he chooses. Okay? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. We talked about my mother's sister. And quite a few years back, we had a discussion because my aunt wanted to give me one of my other aunts who had passed away, one of the pictures that she had when she was very ill, dying, and I refused to take it. And I said, Auntie, I don't want that picture because it's only going to be a reminder of all her suffering because it was just painted on her face. And I said, I would rather get the new pictures that are going to be coming out soon. Well, don't forget, my aunt spent 45 years in a convent from the time she was 15. Okay, she got angry with me. Well, she said, that's the last picture that I have. I said, well, I just don't want that one. I said, I've got some good pictures of my town, and those are the ones that I want to hold on to. And she says, I don't get it. What do you mean, getting the new ones? I said, my town. When she rises out of the grave, she's going to be flesh and bone like me and you. Oh, no, she won't. Now here, listened 40-something years, devoted her entire life doing all the things in submission, but doesn't have a knowledge of the word. So then I said, well, do you remember when he rose from the dead, he appeared to them and he ate fish with them. He ate this and that. And she says, oh, yeah. And, of course, I'm prodding. My mother's sitting in her little rocking chair, and she's laughing from ear to ear, you know, just enjoying every minute. Because now me and my aunt are having a real discussion about resurrection. I said, well, you know, I am going to be there when that resurrection happens. And I said, not just you. I said, whoever else is with me is going to see Matan in a healthy body, full of life and full of joy. And I said, I want to have that picture. She looked at me and she said, well, we had quite a discussion today. But you see who she calls when she's in trouble. Amen. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe, listen to this, 41. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything dear to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I have tried, or this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds. Who's going to open my mind? Nobody else. Then he opened their minds and they could understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Pentecost is on its way. Pentecost is on its way. You've got the message. I want you to close your eyes now. Say, Lord Jesus, do not let me off the hook. Keep prodding me. And give me the courage to make you stay. As long as I am pressing in to get to know the scriptures and what they're doing and talking about me and your purpose for my life. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. You got it? Share some hugs.